Welcome to the My Money, My Lifestyle podcast, where we discuss all things money because whether or not we like it, money matters. I'm your host, Maya Fisher-French, and this is our first podcast of the year, and I'm really looking forward to having some interesting discussions with guests in the year ahead. Now, I've got a favor to ask of you as listeners. Please let me know if there are any specific topics that you would be interested in listening to. Today's topic, I know, is going to be very popular because it's all around tax and investing. We're discussing the tax advantages or not of investing in a retirement annuity. And this is a question, funny enough, I get from you guys quite a lot. And earlier this week, I received an article from financial planner Ben and Hoos, who has been on the show before. And he asked a very important question. He asked, are retirement annuities really that tax efficient? And how should you use them in your portfolio? And I thought this is definitely a discussion worth having and a debate. So welcome, Vanant.
Hi, Maya. Thank you. Looking forward to the chat. Great to be on the first podcast for the year. Looking
forward to the discussion. You are an honored guest to be the first one.
Oh, wonderful. Looking forward to it.
Vanant, let's get straight to the meat of the article, which kind of asked an important question, and it suggested that, I suppose, depending on how you're using it, an RA may not be as tax efficient as we think they are.
Yes, absolutely. Now, I think, you know, we've been working on this or similar examples and analysis over a long period of time, and I thought it quite appropriate to chat about it now, you know, because it's what we call RA season. All your listeners have been bombarded with either emails or contacts or calls about retirement annuities. So it's a very appropriate time to kind of think about it and say, is it appropriate or not? And that's really what I look at in the analysis and discussion.
No, Ben, it's funny you say that because I'm waiting for the press releases to start. Every large insurer, all of them are going to be sending me why you should be topping up your RA. You know, get your RA in before the 28th of February. Look how much money you can save. So I think it's a really, really important discussion to have with someone like you who's independent, who's looking at this from an independent perspective, not, you're not linked to one of the big product houses, and, you know, running the scenarios. So let's have a look at some of these scenarios and maybe unpack it for us. And I just want to just make a note up front that you are looking at the higher income earner in this, sort of people earning around 60,000 or 100,000 a month. So take us through it. What were you looking for and what did you find?
100%. So as I say, the basic starting point was, and we often look at it and sitting in front of clients, you know, we're sort of confronted with the fact that there's too much taxable income in a portfolio. So what I looked at in this particular example was saying, so do RAs really work, or are there other options that might be more optimal, very specifically if you look at tax throughout your life? So the one thing which I think is undisputable is if you look at up to retirement, the RA remains the best structure to go into due to the tax benefits that it provides. So that we're not disputing at all. The only additional item we're throwing into the saying, if you look at tax throughout your lifetime, so taking into account tax before and after retirement, what is the best option? And I think I'll start with the two almost polar extreme examples, and then we can unpack the other ones. But as a start, we kind of say then, okay, if you put all of your money into retirement annuity, versus putting nothing in a retirement annuity, what does that look like? And ultimately, the key thing people are looking at saying, what income can I get given my retirement savings? So that's what I'm looking into, what the income is. So if we look at those two examples, interesting in that, let's say the 60,000 Rand example, we're assuming the investor is investing everything, 27.5%, the maximum that he can. And in that particular example, if we look at the outcome, where you're not putting anything into an RA, you can get about 50,000 Rand income after retirement in today's terms, escalating with inflation. If you do everything in an RA, it's a lot less. It's about 34,000 Rand. That's almost a 40% difference. And I think one's going to stand back and say, but why is that? So yes, we've taken account of all the tax pre and post retirement. But the key reason why that is tax after retirement. Where you put your stuff, be it your RA, your pension, or your preservation monies, if you put all of your monies into those things before retirement, by implication, all of that is taxable after retirement. So in that particular example, the tax after retirement would have been 20%. If you use other stuff before retirement, in example, tax-free savings, normal unit trusts, the income is a lot less, a lot better after retirement. There is still tax. There's tax on interest. There's tax on capital gains that you use to provide that income. And we've taken all of that into account. But that tax is 4% versus 20%, putting everything into taxable pre-retirement savings. So that makes quite a big difference. And then after that, we look at some other examples, but maybe time to just pause on the two polar extremes. So in the polar extremes, it's a lot better to put nothing in the RA. But that poses the question, so where do RAs fit in?
Absolutely. And I think also, you know, when I read the article and I first saw that, I was like, wow, okay, so we're now going to be telling people to not put any money into retirement annuities. We're going to get into a lot of trouble with the entire retirement industry. But when you look further, and I think this is very important, and I think, Vanna, this is a misunderstanding or what people do wrong with their retirement annuity, is that things started to change quite a lot when you reinvested the tax saving, because that's what's missing, right? People put the money in the retirement annuity to reduce their tax. So then they go and get a tax rebate in, you know, in July. They usually pay out the tax rebate from July onwards, and you go and you spoil yourself. You take that, you think that's money to spend. And that's where you're losing the benefit of the RA. So what happened when you looked at it and you said, okay, I'm now going to save the tax benefit, the tax saving. So that rebate I get, I'm going to reinvest. What happened?
And I think that's quite right. You know, so then we went on to say, okay, but now let's assume you utilize that tax benefit, you put it back into your savings. And again, you know, after RA, the second best option is a tax-free saving. So first utilize that, and then whatever's left, put that into a unit trust or a tracker or anything similar that you sort of get balanced fund returns. And that suddenly changes the picture quite a lot. So that becomes then, after the extreme example, those become the two better options with better income. We looked at two scenarios there, the one and only using RA. And the second one, we were actually kind of saying, let's use all the tools available. So let's, rather than putting all your pre-retirement stuff in RA, let's put half into RA. Let's put the other half into unit trust and that tax-free saving, the maximum component. And let's reinvest the tax saving back into the unit trust components. And that becomes the best option. You know, we're utilizing everything in the toolbox before retirement. So utilizing the benefits of the RAs and pension funds, which we'll come back to some of those, utilizing the pre-retirement tax breaks, but you're also building stuff that is a lot more tax efficient after retirement. Mm. So that becomes the best option from a risk adjusted basis versus only putting your stuff into non-retirement assets. And that maybe comes to the benefits of RAs. Mm. You know, so the best option is put all of it into non-RA stuff. The most considered answer is the one I just spoke about. You know, use RAs plus all the other stuff before retirement and build up non-taxable stuff after retirement, because there are benefits in RAs.
So just clarify for me, the scenario that was best was the one where you didn't use your full 27.5% RA contribution, you use half of that. So what would that be? What's my maths? About 13-14% would be in an RA. But then whatever tax benefit you got from the RA was also reinvested. And then the other 14% you put into, maximize your tax-free savings account and put into a unit trust account. Because that's quite an interesting one for me, because funny enough, I actually do something similar. So I just do it out of gut feel, and now you've gone and proven me right, which is lovely. So I do about that. About 15% of my income goes into retirement annuity. And then I put, I use my tax-free savings account and I invest offshore. I put my discretionary money offshore. And I think for me, that's the whole point of it, isn't it? That you've got all these various pots that you can play with when you come to retirement. They're not just these sort of strict rules.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's back to that thing we talk about so much, is don't put all your eggs in one basket. But it goes a bit further, is also to, from a tax perspective, utilize all the stuff with different tax advantages. You know, RA has certain tax advantages, tax-free savings has certain tax advantages. And unit trust post-retirement is a lot more tax efficient than having everything taxable. So you're diversifying both the assets, but also the products, to have a range of things that you can utilize in different ways. And also importantly, not taking away from, there are good benefits in RAs. You know, they are protected against creditors. The fact that they're not part of your estate, no executor's fees. And I think the biggest one is actually the behavioral one. You know, so that point about in a pension fund or in an RA, I always say to people, you're protected against yourself. You know, to a large extent, you kind of protect it to take your assets and use it for other stuff, particularly in an RA. So I think there's massive behavioral benefits in RAs. And then using that with the other tools available becomes the best option in providing the best income.
You know, that right now people are so angry they can't access their RAs. You know, I want to pay off my debt and I can't access my RA. And actually, like you said, that could be the gift because you get to retirement and at least you will have something because we do, we're human. And if something's easily accessible, and I think that's interesting, that's why it's really, for me, when you know, reading the article, I was like, you still, an RA still has such a key role in your portfolio. And especially for, you know, for somebody like me who's self-employed, right? I don't have a company fund. I only have an RA. And I felt by the end of the article that I was okay to still have my RA and the way I was doing it was all right. What I wanted to ask you, though, is, and this is a question I get quite often from followers who are employed. So they have a company pension fund and they want to know if they should take out an RA. Now, if they go and they speak to your traditional advisor who works for a large insurance company, they're going to be told, absolutely, you must take out an RA. But, you know, for me, if it was me, I'd be topping up my tax-free savings account first. So now I know we're not allowed to give advice, but if somebody has a company pension fund, where do you think an RA fits into that?
Yeah. So I think the principle is back to that last example is first start with a decent contribution to a pension fund, pension product. So be it RA or a employer sponsored pension fund. So if you're an employer, then that number that you kind of mentioned, you know, the 12.5%, 15% or round about there, but that's the building block of the retirement strategy. There are benefits in fund, which people forget about. In a pension fund is normally a lot more cost effective. Then you just have to check your underlying portfolios to be sure that is in line with what you get external. But yes, so absolutely have your employer-sponsored pension fund. But if you have more left, then it goes back to the point, utilize other product structures, the tax-free saving, and then, in example, unit trusts, to also start thinking about not just the pre-retirement time frame, but also building stuff that post-retirement is diversified and tax-efficient.
And, you know, just to go back to that tax efficiency, just, you know, I remember I did an analysis of this and trying to work out how much income you could get tax free in retirement. Because, of course, I can't remember what the threshold is that it's for a pension.
About 10, 12 at the moment.
Yeah, about 10, say, call it 12,000 rand a month before you pay tax on income tax. So that would be from your RA or from your living annuity or life annuity. Yes. Then you get your 40,000 a year capital gains exemption. If you were within a, then you can also, of course, receive dividends, which yes, are taxed, but they're not taxed in your hands. So they don't increase your taxable income. And, you know, when you start to spread it, that's basically what you need to do. But of course, Bernard, as we all know, you have to do this long before retirement. Yes. It doesn't help to reach retirement and now worry about your tax strategy because actually you should have been doing this years and years and years ago. But I want to ask you something because this is another one that people always ask. When you're putting together this retirement plan and the tax efficiencies and all of this, where does paying off your mortgage come as part of the strategy?
Yeah, I think there's two parts in that. There's behavioral parts again and there's the pure numbers part. You know, so for some people, for whatever experiences in life, they really have a personal desire to settle debt as soon as possible. And I think it's important to recognize that if that's where you're coming from due to personal circumstances, then there's no financial argument that's going to top that. Mm-hmm. From a peer finance perspective, I again think there's no perfect answers. You know, 1 or 2 years back, it was probably quite an easy answer. Interest rates were 20 years lows. You're paying 6% in your bond. You know, that's in that scenario, you can probably do better by investing in the markets. You know, if interest rates normalizing at the moment, prime sitting at 9%, so people are paying around about 9 or 10, 11% in their bonds. Once you get a saving, if you invest that in the market, what return do you get to be better than the return that you get in your bond, the guaranteed 10, 11%? And it becomes more difficult to kind of be 10 or 11%. In a pension fund with the tax breaks, that still becomes a viable option to put a bit more in your pension and your bond. So my answer at the moment is pragmatic again, settle the bond and a wee bit more But you can certainly, given the tax breaks that you do get in the retirement savings, still get a better return out of the RA or pension fund that you do in servicing 10, 11% in your bond. So my answer, pragmatic, you know, kill the bond and a wee bit more, but don't not also add to a tax-free or a pension plan.
And I think that is, you know, when you say kill the bond, I think you mean you pay your bond installment plus extra. Yes. Because that, of course, that also is wonderful because it gives you that buffer. You know, when interest rates go up, you already have a bit of a buffer against that. And I agree with you on that one. I think that there, I see too much focus on only paying off the mortgage and not building up the asset base, which over time, you know, starts to compound and can make a huge difference. But, you know, people find it, they're like, well, at least my mortgage is done, you know, that's out the way. So for me, what I've done is I've sort of targeted a date that I want my mortgage paid off by, like, which sort of fits into my holistic plan because I want to, you know, have it paid off before I retire, you know, and, you know, I want to be able to enjoy my life at some point and not have to keep paying the bond. So it is, I think it is about a multi-strategy. And I think that's really, really important.
I think in that one has to keep eye on interest rates as well. You know, back in, was it the 98s roundabout, we had interest rates at 23.4%. You know, so that's why I said last year or year two back, the answer was quite simple. You know, if rates are extremely low, then it makes sense to do other stuff where you're earning more. If rates go up to 14-15%, you know, interest rates are cyclical, then suddenly that argument becomes a wee bit more tilted, a bit more towards the bond. You know, but I think your answer is spot on. It's not a everything into a bond scenario, but it is important to kind of keep an eye on the interest rates as well. That does impact the decision.
And also, you know, what I've looked at with mine is the ability, you know, do I accelerate my bond mortgage even more or do I put more money offshore? And I think, you know, South Africans like to divest their risk. And that's also an important strategy. And something often I ask people, I say, well, you're accelerating your mortgage repayments, but it's a South African asset. You know, it's a very fixed asset. You know, you've got to be able to sell it to materialize it. You know, have you thought about those risks? I think it's important when we look at all of these things to look at all of our risks as well. Not it's difficult. It's not easy. If only we had the crystal ball, man.
But you're right. You know, one's going to look, we always say it's a balance sheet analysis. You know, take your own balance sheet, and that's where your point comes in. You know, if you take your own balance sheet, you add your property plus your pension plus your other stuff, most people are overexposed to SA. So then you've got to say, you know, you've got to top up offshore, and how do you do that?
Absolutely. And I mean, usually your offshore, of course, your retirement fund would be limited in terms of its offshore, though that has increased, obviously, as we know, the limits were revised. And I think many of the asset managers have increased the exposure offshore. But you've got to look at your pension fund and look at that and say, what is my pension fund invested in? And then that's something a lot of people don't know. They don't look at it and they actually have no idea what their offshore exposure is within their retirement fund. I mean, that also incredibly important to look at it. And I just want to obviously encourage everybody, and I hope you've gathered from this conversation, go meet with a financial planner, not the day before you retire, but at least, from the start, the day you start working would be a very good one. But Wynand, like, what's your, it's like the last date that you think you can help someone? Like, how many years before retirement do you really need to be calling someone like Wynand?
Yeah, I first want to start saying, I mean, you're spot on. The earlier you start, the better. You know, I was chatting to a client of mine and we did some work for him and did a bit of writing and stuff. And he said his son read some of the work we did. He's 21 years old and he wants to chat. If you can start at 21, given all the principles, compounding, all the stuff you talk about in your show so much, it's absolutely phenomenal. But most people don't do that. But I think it's also important to say, remember, if you're retiring at 65, your time frame's still 25, 30 years. So don't think it's too late. You know, if you're 65 still and you just before retirement, still spend the time to understand what your money is going to do for the next 25 or 30 years, because that's still a very long time frame. Mm. So the earlier you start, the better. But also, people shouldn't be despondent if they haven't spoken to anybody and they're just before retirement, because you still have a very long time frame. You know, 25, 30 years, that's worth planning.
And I think that is so key. We forget that. We think retirement's the end of our life. It's only probably halfway through our sort of thing, you know, but as longevity numbers. And just to remind listeners, Vaynant wrote the book, he wrote the book to 100 and beyond, which is all about the fact that we're all going to be living much longer than we expected, and it's going to be a lot more expensive to stay alive for that length of time. So the less tax that you have to pay with your retirement income, absolutely, the better. Yeah.
And I think, I mean, that's the crux of that example, you know. And I think people don't think about it like that. You know, before retirement, you do so much to save tax. But remember those examples I used. And the one example, you're paying 20% tax. Remember, that's 20% of what you've saved every month you're paying over to SARS. You know, we're trying to balance the stuff a bit more. That can reduce quite a lot, you know, to 10% or significantly less. But that is the crux of that whole example, diversifying post-retirement, is remember, you've built up this pot of money. After retirement, you pay tax from your own capital, and you can actually make that a lot more efficient than what you think. But you've got to look at the before and post scenario. So yeah, the tax is so important, particularly in this era of longevity.
So I'm going to sum it up as it's really important to understand, have a holistic plan around your retirement. Make sure you're diversifying the different types of investments you're in so that you have a diversified income in retirement. But the other one really, really big for me, Vaynant, when I looked at your examples, is the importance of reinvesting the tax benefit that you get from a retirement annuity that people don't do. When you get that rebate, it's not there to go and have a holiday with, because then you're not actually benefiting, you're not getting the tax benefit to the same extent. So I think that was the other one that really kind of struck me. So thank you so much for the discussion. And of course, everybody, please go and get some proper pre-retirement planning. And that does not mean asking questions to me on Twitter. I will encourage you to go, please, and get a proper financial planner who can look at it holistically. And I'm going to be posting the article Vaynant wrote on my website, so you can read a little bit further and understand some of these examples better. So thank you, Vaynant, for your time today.
Thank you, Maya. Thanks to the listeners.